Hello, everyone. It's time for another edition of Adventures in Careerland. Adriana Magnifico. I am the career lead at the Louis Riel Arts and Tech Center. That's a very cool space where 13 programs are housed, and they are programs that high school students and post-secondary students can choose to step off the beaten path and do a little more curious exploring about where their best skills lie and where their potential may lie. We know the education process is a very interesting process, and for every student who is unique, who has special gifts, this is a place to explore those gifts and uniqueness in ways that probably the high school programs generally have difficulty doing. So there are a lot of programs here: applied business management, automotive technology, baking, childhood educator, electrical trades, information systems, new media design. 13 programs here where you can test and gauge where your best self may lie. Pretty interesting stuff to do, especially the courage it takes for students to step off that beaten path. We're in the Broadcast Media Podcast Studio, and that is one of the 13 programs. And these programs also help students make really constructive choices, proactive choices, because they're getting in touch with themselves. They're getting in touch with their skills. When they leave high school, they have a better sense of, I think this is where my best opportunity may lie. I think this is where I can find a great opportunity for career and life path. Love this program. Love being a part of this teaching team, this dedicated teaching team as well. I'm working with two students from the Broadcast Media program who are my co-hosts. And our regular co-host, Lena Alforti, can't be here. She's off on a field trip with the Applied Business Management. We have a substitute who is just a keeper here. And that is our new replacement co-host for this session, Chin Kai. Chang, how are you, sir?
I am doing excellent.
I love it. Now, Chin wanted to be as a co-host on this space, but there's so many people who are working with us. He's been on the production side of the team.
Yes.
And how has that been going, Chin? What's it like being on the production side?
So actually, being a producer, it's actually pretty fascinating. And like, back on the previous episodes, I've been like editing the Adventures in Careerland podcast. Like I just edit it and then cut it, and then I put some thumbnails and put it on YouTube, which is like very fascinating.
And you know what? You're seeing the whole picture, right? Because now you're a co-host, and you probably thought while you were editing, boy, what a bunch of idiots these people are. And now he's one of the idiots who is going to now record with us. I mean that with great affection. It's a different world when you're out here on the microphones. Do you feel that?
Yeah.
So when you're working the machines back there and the buttons, different world than actually talking into the microphones. We're also with another member of the Broadcast Media program, Andre Poitier. He's one of our regular co-hosts. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
All right. So how is life going with you in the Broadcast Media program? You guys just finished recording and streaming a weekend long event. Talk about that for a sec.
Oh, it was badminton. We had to sit down in front of a computer, watch a badminton game, and click buttons to make numbers go up.
I know. That was the provincial badminton championships for Manitoba.
I saw some of my friends from school playing there as well, and it was very nice to see. But my only problem was I wasn't very enthusiastic about it because I was hurting a lot. Like I left there with a flu, so much so that I didn't go to one of the biggest events for a cadet. I had to miss that, and it was devastating. But other than that, I found it really good. I was really proud of everybody, the way we all were able to handle not exactly knowing what to do, but all just figuring it out and getting through it.
I love that. That's difficult. And what a tribute to you, sucking it up and working through the pain.
Everything hurt.
Everything
I don't want to get into the details. But
you did, and we don't want to hear it. You know, we don't want to hear about all the bathroom.
Also,
we don't want to hear any of that stuff.
Also, Chin here was my savior because I could not pay for the parking because I didn't have a credit card. But Chin hooked me up. And I thank you so much for it, man.
Yeah,
no Chin, you're a good guy, but you know you're never getting that money back, right?
No, from Mr. P. From Mr. P.
Okay, okay.
Oh, actually, I still have those in the car. I'm gonna have to get that for lunch.
Yeah, that's give me that.
That's very good. But you know what? You're speaking to something that's very important in schools, and I think if schools did more of this, they would be much more engaging places for students in general. You're doing work, hands-on work outside of the building. There's a whole new classroom out there when you go to Sport Life Manitoba building, where there's an entire world of badminton going on there. People are coming from all over the province to participate in this. And your Cracker Jack broadcast media team is there streaming it, filming it, putting it out there for people to watch. How many hours? You're talking what?
Five hour shifts on Friday and like 3 hour shifts on Tuesday. Saturday.
And then hauling all this equipment. You can't believe I watch these students haul this equipment in and out of this building. My gosh, this is quite the ordeal and quite the physical activity. There's so much. We're surrounded. We're in a podcast studio. We're surrounded by all the equipment that came in from the badminton event and all the bags, all the cords. Amazing what you guys do. My question to you is how important, how valuable is that? Finding classrooms outside of the regular high school classroom, those four walls. How important is that to you?
I think it's really important. I think it just helps everybody connect because, you know, I never really knew Chin Kai very much. I mean, we met like a few months ago, but I never really talked to him too much. But then him helping me out just like showed me who Chin Kai really was.
Yeah, indeed. So in my opinion, I think like going outside to have this kind of actually hands-on ability is such a really kinesthetic ability to work on because we are in the broadcast media and then we need some actually like hands-on ability to work. Yeah.
And that's super useful to talk to an employer saying, I've actually done that.
Indeed, yeah.
That's very powerful. And I love that Chin used the word kinesthetic. He's raising the vocabulary of the whole co-host group.
Yeah,
I want you to take a quick lesson. He's here as a first timer.
Hold on, let me just
start taking notes on Chin. That's awesome. Hey, so it's important stuff though, right? If you're sitting in the four walls in a classroom, and that's the traditional style of education though, right?
Yes.
Teachers at the front, we listen, we take notes, we get tested.
Absolutely.
For the most part. That's the way school works. Agreed?
Yeah.
Is that the way it's worked for you, Andre?
It's not worked for me. It's the way it's worked. It's the way it is.
And Chin, where are you from? Where's your homeland?
I'm from China.
You're from China?
Yeah.
Is that the way it works in China?
Yeah, indeed.
100%. So when you come to Canada and you choose this program and you are all over the city all the time, streaming, filming, creating. You're always in the hallways too with cameras on your shoulders, interviewing, doing broadcasts, doing radio shows. What kind of change has that been for you?
Oh,
was it hard to adapt to that?
Oh, I think it depends on the courses, right? So I choose this course of broadcast media that makes me have like really, really practical ability because I was actually a pretty introverted person. So now I've step out of my comfort zone to become like more extroverted.
Good for you. Good for you, Chin. And you know what? We have a guest here who, in my lifetime, I've known Craig for a long time. He's one of my first students when I came to Windsor Park Collegiate back in the Lou Riel School Division. I started in River East and then came to the Lou Riel School Division. And Craig was one of my first students. Craig Adolph is our guest. And Craig, you've had a lot of experience with stepping outside of the classroom. How are you, sir? Craig Adolph, how are you? Welcome to the podcast.
Good. I'm doing well, happy to be here. And I think that's probably true. I have spent a lot of time out of the classroom.
And that's part of your, think back to your Windsor Park life. You graduated in 2007 from Windsor Park. I remember those days because, I ran the career internship program. I was trying to start up there. It's still going very well at Windsor Park. And I remember, do you remember me talking to you in the hallways? You're a grade 11 kid and I'm looking to talk to you in the hallways. What's going through your head in the hallways at Windsor Park at grade 11? And then when Magnifico runs up and talks to you and says, I want you to join my program. And that's what the program's about. It's about getting outside the classroom for the most part, if you recall. What was going through your head?
Going through my head, probably just thinking about cartoons or something at the time, something silly. But I think for me, I was established pretty early a pattern of like when someone invites you to do something or when you get pulled into something, just kind of run with it. But I think I was always involved with a lot of stuff as a kid. So doesn't take a lot for me to get pulled into something if someone offers.
Yeah. So was I persuasive enough for you, or was that you were looking for something? Were you looking for something, a change, or were you just wanting to do the same?
I think maybe a bit of both, probably a bit of both. I was definitely ready to try something new. And a teacher sort of reaching out and suggesting something like that could be motivating, I suppose.
Yeah, we had a chat yesterday about the old tap on the shoulder, and you said, well, you tapped me on the shoulder. And I said, yeah, I never thought of it that way. Tapped you on the shoulder and said, why don't you try this? Do you remember what and of course that program involves an internship. Do you remember where you went?
It was Canadian Manufacturers and Exporters.
Oh, right. With Ron Pawlowski, right?
Yes, yeah.
And you know, Ron, who's been the VP of the Canadian Manufacturers and Exporters for many years, just retired. I went to his retirement party last month.
Oh, really? I think, I knew there'd been some developments with him, I think, but I think you had mentioned something before, but it must have been before he retired. Maybe that he was still doing well or something.
Yeah, no, he's doing super well, but he's now moving off into that space where he has many more options. I think he subcontracts with him and stuff. So,
oh, cool.
What did you learn from the CME experience?
You know what? I think it was just a great experience for getting to work on a sort of like an independent project. I was working, it's been a while, so the specifics kind of elude me, but I was working on like, I think helping to update their contact list or something at the time, like working on like a little independent project to help with their sort of like outreach or contact management. But yeah, it was like a good experience just to be sort of given a task and, you know, figure out how to do it and get it done in the span of that time. This being back like when I was 17, I suppose, I don't know that it was my best work, but it was a good experience just to get out and to try something different, you know?
Yeah, to change the classroom, like honestly, mm-hmm. to change what the classroom looks like and to see that the world is a classroom, right? And everything you do is kind of a classroom. And that's where I've always thought about education. I can see the kinds of things you've done. You did that as well. You went right to university, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And I think when I first went to university, I had some ideas of what I want. Well, I had an idea of what I wanted to do. And I definitely shifted gears while I was there. Like I found what I was interested in and what was not totally for me. And so it took me a little while to get through and finish my degree, but it was a very good experience. And I think I have one thought in the back of my head of like, well, it would have been nice to sort of finish earlier to move on to my career earlier, but I got so much from my time there as well, like just in terms of trying different things and sort of sticking my toe in different things. And you know, I think we'll probably talk about getting involved with the campus media and stuff. Yes. That stuff was really great learning experiences where I got to sort of take those experiences of like, just you're responsible for something and you have to figure it out to the next level. And I still draw on those experiences now, like in my more advanced career, more than most anything else I've done. So those were really great.
And that's what most people think about, right? When they take the courses, I'm sure you don't remember all, you took psychology and sociology, you'll talk more about that, but you remember more the outside experience where you were working with the team. And those are the ones that actually shape you, right? So when I talk about those classrooms, I think those are the great moments of learning. Those are the great character developers when you're in spaces that just don't involve a textbook and regurgitating some info from a textbook.
So, mm-hmm. No.
Great stuff. Hey, talk about that. You're at the U of M. You're taking your time getting your degree. And you're figuring out those important pieces of, hey, I like this. This sticks to me. I gravitate to this. I like this. I don't like this. We talk about that as collecting your dots. You're collecting those dots of what's important to you. And you're accumulating experiences. Now, talk about you. You became the editor of the Manitoban, which is the school newspaper, which is a big deal, while you're getting an arts degree, a sociology, psychology degree, which is one of those degrees we talk about this back in the day was one of those, well, I guess there's nothing else to do. I'll get a psychology degree. And yeah. Oh, good. I can't wait to become a barista at Starbucks with my sociology degree. And that's the way it was perceived. I never perceived it that way. I thought these were great opportunities to think, to analyze, to ponder, to philosophize, like all those kinds of things that those courses allowed you to do, make you stronger. But it had that rep, right? I mean, in those days. So you're going through those and you wander into somehow the Manitoban office. Talk about that story.
Yeah, I had, maybe I'll even jump back quick one step, but earlier as well, I had gotten into, community gardening and working to start a nonprofit in the neighborhood that was just like focused on building a community garden. So a lot of like grassroots, just getting involved and starting something from scratch. And it was inspired by another community garden in the city as well. So I just had an interest in nonprofits as well. And then a friend tapped me on the shoulder and sort of said she had gotten a job working at the student newspaper and that they were still looking for someone. And just like based on our shared interest, she thought I would be a good fit. And so I got pulled in as a junior news editor, like in August, and I really just kind of threw myself into it full tilt. And, I think it was like late December, I moved up to managing editor. And then by April, I was taking over as the editor in chief, or April, May the following year.
So you pretty much became J. Jonah Jameson. Parker, get me those pictures. You're one of those guys.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I love it.
Without the mustache, but otherwise spot on.
Without the stash. But you were an imposing figure because I think it's safe to say are you always the tallest guy in the room, or?
When I'm not, it's disconcerting for sure. But yeah, I'm like 6'9", so it's rare that I'm seeing people as tall as me around.
So actually, like, how is your courses in university, with sociology, how does it actually shape your perspective, or let's say, does it really apply to your career at this moment?
You know, I think a lot of it was just driven by interest, but there's a lot of an arts degree that, you know, like Mr. Magnifico was talking about, that goes into like critical thinking or being able to do research and analysis. I worked as a research assistant briefly on campus and a teaching assistant. So like editing other people's work or reviewing it and grading it, or doing research for a book chapter for a professor. So just being able to read and dissect and understand different stuff. I think you could take different fields within an arts degree, like sociology, economics, poli-sci or whatever. Sociology is definitely the one for me, and then maybe economics a bit as well. Mm-hmm. But any of those really gives you an opportunity to sort of like read and learn and learn how to do analysis, that sort of stuff. So it's more just an opportunity to develop sort of those broader skills, I think, more than anything.
And you know what? I love that you're talking about the value of an arts degree, because I've always felt those were powerful degrees, and people sometimes got the wrong perception of them, right? Because they weren't as technical or applied as some of the others, but they were technical. Mm-hmm. They were applied for your mind. And I think the world, I think today, those degrees are of great value, because we're looking for thinkers today. Andre, what are you thinking here?
To me, yeah, it does seem like that. One thing as well with degrees is it seems like before, if you had a degree, you were outstanding. You excelled in something and you would probably get hired more often. But now I'm seeing that everybody or a lot more people have those degrees. So how do you stand out from the rest? Well, you have to get out there. You have to go outside and get that actual experience work. Put that down in a notebook going, I did this time, depending on whatever you took. And I feel like getting out there and actually learning how to do it is a lot better than memorizing some words in a book.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's harsh.
Yeah, I think
that's harsh, man.
I do think that there's
that.
A lot of value in just going out and applying things. And just The things that I've learned the most from have been experiences where you're just kind of put in a situation where something has to get done and you have to do your best to sort of navigate doing it. Mm-hmm. So hands-on stuff is really where I've learned best. And I think it have been the best experiences where I've been able to bring examples and skills to future projects or future jobs.
And that's where I found you. I remember I was in Provence Park. You lose touch with some students sometime. They go on to their lives, and obviously you can't all keep in contact. I do try to keep in contact with many of the students. And I saw you in Provence Park working on a community garden. And that's where you said you got this little kind of interest in connecting to community. Talk about that, because I look at your – you look at your LinkedIn space. You volunteered everywhere. And not just volunteered, hey, I'll be the member at large on the committee. You've been VP, you've been president, you've been the leader. You assert yourself. Why have you done that? And why are you connecting to the community so hard? And what's the value to you of all the volunteer work?
I do think like volunteer work has been some of the places where I've learned the most skills or developed the most. You know, it's not exclusively, but you know, sometimes when you're working, you're doing what has to get done as opposed to what you think is the best thing for your development or what, you know, sometimes you get lucky and you find something that hits all those notes at the same time. But I've just had a lot of opportunities where I wanted to be a part of something. There was a group called Sustainable South Osborne that worked on community gardens in a fruit orchard in South Osborne. And just that really inspired me. I encountered that through university because there was another student who went on to be a professor who was involved in starting that. And Rod Kuhneman, who is one of my professors, talked about it a lot and just really made me want to try bringing that into St. Boniface where I live and just really wanted to replicate it. And so it became a bit of a community project that I could probably talk more on for the whole interview, but it just became something that I wanted to replicate and wanted to be part of. And I think those things of wanting to engage with things, I think I have a pretty strong sense of like civics and, you know, if there's an opportunity, you know, you, as a citizen, you have a degree of responsibility for your community. You have a degree of, you know, wanting to make things better wherever you are. And so there's been a lot of things in my life and my sort of personal or professional career where, you know, I just want to be a part of things and participate. And then we were saying when we talked last, you know, sometimes if no one else is stepping up, you kind of end up in that chair, vice chair role pretty quickly. But you also develop skills and when you take those on, just in terms of like, you know, learning how to chair a meeting, how to run a nonprofit or a charity. You know, there's a lot of things that I've learned from just being interested in and jumping in sort of both feet first that I would not have learned otherwise. So
with that community garden, it actually kind of brought me back to when I was in my other school. Our school had given up a part of its large field where kids would always play to make a huge, like a bunch of different community gardens with a shed that's accessible to the public. And none of the students got to build it, but I know the teachers did. And I know that some of the students felt connected to it because it was a very like community school, small town, Aldershane. And as much as there were some students who tried to break it because that's what dumb kids do, there are other students who thought it was nice and kind of enjoyed the watching people, you know, come in, plant something and come in later and take it. And I don't know. It was just a connection I made to me with those community gardens.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really interesting point is like, I also when you start building something, it can pull people in, right? When you create something like a project or an institution or something, like there's an opportunity for people to have a sense of buy-in and it pushes them further. Like, there's something about just seeing something positive around you that sort of motivates other people as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, think about this, Craig. You've done a lot of different work. Did you ever take some of these on and go, what have I got myself into? Like,
yeah, no, definitely.
Like many times, like I do this often myself where, oh my gosh, you know, I'm the president of this now. Oh my gosh. I had no, I just wanted to be a member at large. And suddenly you're the president. And just to help out. Do you ever take this on and get it? I wonder about when you're taking all these on, does it get easier and easier to do it? Or do you always have a little sense of, I always talk about myself as having a bit of imposter syndrome. You know what I'm talking about? Where am I sure I'm the right guy to do this?
You know what? I think I'm kind of through my imposter syndrome phase. Like I've had enough, and you know, I'm sure everyone, it sticks with a lot of, you know, everyone, no matter how much skill you have, there's that sense. But for me, it's not so much that is like, sometimes it's like, you know, what am I getting myself into in terms of like one too many things, right? And so my biggest challenge is with that sense of wanting to be a part of things and wanting to join boards or volunteer or join committees. It's like at a certain point you look around and say like, I've got, you know, something booked every day of the week, and this is not really sustainable, or I'm not going to be able to bring the best of myself to each one of these roles with how many things I'm doing. So one thing I do constantly have to work on is like, you know, I have to limit myself. And you know, if I've had periods where I've found I'm on too many things, and then I have to sort of like consciously say like, okay, well, as of the next like AGM, I'm unwinding my responsibilities and going to try to leave this one role in a way that doesn't like disrupt the flow of the organization or the board or whatever it might be. But like, I'm just getting ready to unwind and trying to find a replacement who will come in for me and take on this role so I can focus more intensely on the one that I'm most passionate about, or the one or two things that I'm like really where I can add the most value. So if it feels like something where, you know, I don't have that special skill set to move this project or this organization further any more than, you know, anyone else, then it's like, okay, well then I can sort of like bring someone else in to continue that work, and I can focus on something where I know I'm going to add more value.
And you know what? I think you're saying something really important to any, to our seven or eight listeners out there who it's really important for you to take care of yourself during these processes, right? And when you do take on too much and it wears you down, all of the organizations don't get your best. You know what I mean? So I really think when you overextend yourself sometime, I mean, you have to do that sometimes. When things get busy, they get busy, whatever you're in, right? But if that's going on every day of the week, you have to take care of yourself too, so that you can be of service in the best way to some of these organizations. I've noticed that too.
Yeah. I think there's a couple of different ways you can sort of like just spin it as a metaphor, but like, you know, you want to be able to give off the interest, or like you can't be wearing yourself down so that, you know, every year there's a bit less and less. You've got to be sharing that surplus as opposed to like you know, burning into the principal or whatever. But if you're talking about like plants or whatever, you're sharing some of the harvest, not what you're trying to grow. So
yeah, you're not constantly trying to seed it all the time and seed it all the time and seed it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's a great metaphor. And of course, I'm burning with pride right now because you were my English student and you're using a metaphor. How exciting. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I love that. Now, you know what I'm really interested in too is you become a writer for the Manitoba. Now, I had you in English class and you're a pretty decent writer, I thought. But for you now to become the editor and pretty much a copywriter for the Manitoban is amazing. Did you discover your skill set in writing more, or did you begin to like it? Like, how did you get into the writing gig? Because that's a big communications piece. It's hard to find good writers.
You know, I vaguely remember there was an assignment you had for one of your classes where you gave bonus points for, it was like doing like metaphors or similes or something. And you know, like I am like the sun and I this and this, and like you're comparing yourself to different things. And and I remember you gave bonus points for it. So I did like four or five of them.
Yeah, you were prolific. Yeah, you were becoming one of these guys who wanted the bonus. You didn't even want to do the real assignment. You just wanted the bonus part.
Yeah, no, I had to catch up somehow for sure.
Bonus points are crazy.
I think I never expected to be like, pulled into writing in particular. I did. I managed to actually win an award when I was working at the newspaper. I won an award for like best news writing from a student paper in Canada one year.
Oh my gosh, that's spectacular!
Yeah, I mean, it was a nice little feather in my cap for sure. But for the most part, I honestly, once you get involved as like the editor in chief, the amount I would write went from like, you know, 2 to 4 articles a week down to like 1 every 2 or 3 weeks, because it's like you're editing so many people's work instead. And even then, I would say copy editing was not my strong suit. Like I had other people who I worked with who are really proficient copy editors. And a lot of what I did was looking at it from sort of like that analysis perspective of like, what is the flow of this article? Is there any legal implications? Is this technically incorrect because of how they worded it? Like making sure they're not wording something in a way that loses accuracy, you know, like, and some copy editing as well. But, you know, that was part of assembling a team, is bringing on these people who have skill sets other than your own to cover your blind spots, your weak spots.
You know what, that's amazing. And yeah, think about this, like you've gone to university to pick up a degree. The average student goes to pick up a degree. You've turned university into this universe for yourself where you're attempting different exercises. You're stepping outside of your classroom. You're volunteering in the community. So the university experience for you with this multifaceted, crazy, busy, kinesthetic and critical thinking universe, is that makes sense to you? Like you've turned it into a whole different experience than the average student.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I mean, I got involved with the campus radio station as well through the student paper, because we had a lot of connections and I ended up on their board of directors as well. But honestly, it took me a while to get there. Like the first couple of years I was there, it was just kind of like going through the motions and trying to find my place and find what I could take from the experience. And eventually I kind of found what I wanted from the experience, but it took me a while for sure.
Yeah, but that's because you're putting yourself out there, right? Like high school students who move into university go through that, what am I doing here phase. Things are interesting, but how am I developing as a person? What skills am I getting? Where will this lead me? Where you just had the attitude of, I'm going to follow my nose. I'm going to be a curious little bunny who right now is eating, that little bunny in my front yard, eating all of my plants. But he's moving around to everybody's yard. So I just admire this bunny. I'm going to grab him one day and do fun things with him. Anyway, one day, you're that bunny, like you're following your nose and you're looking around and it's becoming more and more satisfying with every experience you have. And I'm not sure everyone takes that same attitude to the university experience. They're just trying to get their credits, trying to get their degree and trying to move on. You're trying to turn that university experience into a holistic experience and not just an academic one. I think that's an amazing lesson for people to understand about embracing a situation and turning it into something that is helping you discover your best self and where your best skills lie. I think this is an amazing story, Craig.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to say that it was like a conscious effort to do that as well. I mean, I think that might sum up like how I was approaching it, but it was definitely not I would not have described it that way at the time either, is the thing. I just was kind of like you said, kind of following my nose and eventually found what I wanted to get from the experience, I think.
Yeah, but that's the point. I mean, there's a Rumi, a 13th century Islamic philosopher said something around, you know what, you got to take the first steps to actually think about what the path is. You have to take those steps before the path begins to unveil itself to you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, and I think you've done that. You just, with your curiosity, you wandered into these spaces. Somebody sometimes, you know, someone tapped you on the shoulder. If that person didn't say to you way back when, hey, come to the university, there's a position opening, I'm doing it, would you have even done it? But that's part of life. That's the tap on the shoulder. That's you going, oh, yeah, I'll check that out. And you're and that's part of who you are and how you think and how you like to manage your life and how you like to take your steps. I think that's amazing.
Yeah. Is that just kind of how it works? Do you just follow your nose? Like
that's
like
what it is, baby.
Like the toucan? Just follow your nose.
What if you're a toucan? Well, that's a bigger... Well, I'm an Italian with a Roman Gothic nose. Look at the size of the schnozola, boys. Look at this. Right here. Okay, that's a big nose to follow. So I have a great responsibility. But I've always kind of followed my nose. I've always just thought I want to check out activities, events. I want to meet people. And half the time when I go to the events, I'm going, oh, should I even go to this? I don't even know. I'll go to it and I think, oh, I'm so glad I'm here. You ever feel that way, Craig, where I'm, okay, I'll go to this thing and it turns out to be gold?
Yeah, all the time. In terms of like social outings, like I would be happy to never go anywhere. Like I'm not a gala kind of guy or wanting to go to like social events. And it's not like I love people and I love, you know, seeing people. I like, you know, I've listened to some of the earlier podcasts and I love hearing what people I know from high school that they're doing well and that things are going well for them. But it's one of those things where like, you know, I know through COVID people, a lot of people had a lot of issues being so isolated. Like for me, it was just like, you know, any other day I was very comfortable at home. Even though I like people, I don't have the sort of like need to be around people. And then anytime I get to be around people, it's just like a, you know, a bonus.
It is, right? Like I sometimes too, like I people always say to me, Magnifico, you're an extrovert. I went, no, I'm not. I'm not quite that way. It seems that way sometimes, but I like my privacy. I like being alone. I like doing things. But when I get out there, I think, oh, I'm so glad I'm out here. Like I think there's two sides to all of us, right? And once we exercise both sides, it just creates a deeper balance inside of you and greater opportunity. I look at some of this work you've done. How important has your network been to you? Who have been the mentors in your life that have made a big difference for you?
You know what? I think there's probably different layers to that. For me, I think my parents, I know it's kind of like starting from the foundation on that, but I learned a lot from my parents just in terms of like my morals and like for my dad on my morals, and for my mom, I think I just take after her on a personality level as well. Not that she didn't teach me morals, but that sort of like positive attitude and not sort of like burning any bridges, like just being polite and sociable. Like I definitely take after her on that a lot, and that's contributed a lot to like how I work with people. And then I think my cohort, just like my social circle, I think you just pick up a lot of who you're around, and I have a lot of admiration for the people I tend to surround myself with. And I don't think I have an approach that's like deifying anyone. Like I don't have like one person who's like the one person for the source of like truth and how I should be living my life. I think every institution or every project or group I get involved with, I'm able to find people who I respect a lot and who I pick stuff up from. And, you know, it's not that they're the mentor because they're in a position of authority. It could be people. I've had people who report to me in sort of like a management dynamic, or people who are on the same like institutional level as me, or people who I report to. Like there's always people you can like learn stuff from and sort of gain inspiration from, I think. And it's not really dependent on any one person or sort of them being ahead of you in their career or sort of level of prestige or something. Like there's always people on every level of an organization that sort of like you can learn from and I don't know, take things from, for sure.
Hey, just quickly before we get to the quick cues, so you're in marketing and communications with Service Canada, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a government job. So you've gone from these really eclectic, interesting skill developers, follow your nose kinds of jobs into the government. Has that been a big change?
There's definitely a pretty big change when I first got into it, just because of the size and scope of it. some things are slow to change, and there's so much more you have to learn about the institutions. From going, like, I had periods where I worked for a charity where I was the only staff person, working for a different nonprofit where there's like a staff of four people, or running the Manitoban where there's a staff of basically everyone except for the editor-in-chief and business manager are part-time. And so being overseeing a small organization like that, relatively small anyways, but to going to a government position where within the region I operate in, there's like 8,000 plus people, and it takes years to sort of learn the different branches and teams. And you know, you're still always learning about how dynamics work within the structure of it. There's a steep learning curve there, and it's harder to, like, one thing I loved about charity work and nonprofit work and those volunteer things is you can get in, assess everything around you relatively quick, and just start making changes to how the organization works. So there's like a kind of slowing it down of that process, but with time you can still do that same sort of work. So there was a big learning curve, but it's also great to have a pension. It's not something to knock, you know. So I think there was definitely a steep learning curve and a big transition, but you're still able to apply those skills, I would say, within government. And I love being a public servant and being, I really like the idea of, again, working for the government, just in terms of like having that mandate of giving back to the public and giving back to citizens. Even though I don't work with them directly as much, most of my clients as a communications person for the team I'm on are internal clients, but I do love what I do, and I love the sort of mandate we have, for sure.
Yeah, because that's a different mindset when you're in government, the regulations, the rules, and again, it's a tribute to your dexterity you've developed as a person to function and to be a part of that team and to add value there. So good for you, man. I think some people say, I don't like my government job. You sound like you like it. You sound like you're working at it and you're making a difference. And we have those kinds of people in government. We make our world a better place. We make our society a better place. So I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. Proud of you for being a part of that. That's good stuff. Greg, yeah. Interesting stuff here. You want to give some quick advice to a grade 11 student? What would you tell them?
I think, like we kind of talked about, volunteer roles can be huge for development and learning. Throw yourself into whatever you decide you want to do. Be open to trying new stuff, and be respectful and avoid burning bridges. I would say build relationships, and you never know when you're going to be working with someone again or encountering someone again. And it's good to sort of like have a good reputation and have people feel like they want to be a part of a team with you. I think those are things that I've heard from my managers that they've appreciated in me, is just being positive and having a sense of accountability about yourself has been good. So,
oh, that's great. Yeah. That's great. Hey, this has been a good talk, but now we're going to put you to the test here, because it's time for our famous quick cues. Now, I got to be honest, they've been kind of lame for a while. But we're going to try it again with Andre. So, Andre, going to turn it over to you. Explain how this works.
Oh, my goodness.
Our guest threw it.
I love quick cues. I don't know what he's talking about, but quick cues are great. All I have to do is ask you a question. You answer quickly. I ask you another one quickly, and you answer quickly again, I guess. Let's do it. Anyway, first question, albums or singles?
Albums.
Pool or beach?
Pool.
Call or text?
Sorry, say that again?
Call or text?
Text.
Steak or chicken?
Chicken.
Bugs Bunny or Roadrunner?
Bugs Bunny.
Red or green?
Green.
Government or non-public?
Government.
Cool tire rims or cool paint job?
Tire rims.
Frosted Flakes or Oreo or Cheerios?
Cheerios.
And what is your favorite podcast?
I like Majority Reports. I like
No. We can't post this anymore. We'll give you one more chance. We'll give you one more chance. We'll give you one more chance.
Okay.
All right. What is your favorite podcast?
This one.
He doesn't even know the name.
What's the name of the podcast?
Adventures in Career Lab.
Woo!
I'm an avid listener.
All right. So now you just declare that we can actually upload you onto the internet. So well done, Craig. I can't believe you had all these other podcasts ahead of us. Ah, you shall have no gods before us, my friend. Always remember that. So, hey, Craig, this has been a lot of fun. You've done a great job. And I got to say, the Career Land, that's non-public, non-profit, you meant. Didn't you see?
I can't read your writing.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, well. They have so much to learn, Craig. Anyway, it's been fun. Hey, you got a great story, Craig, just about you are a kind, friendly, generous person. We didn't even talk about your basketball life. You were a big lug in the basketball team back at Windsor Park. You're a key player there. And we talked about how you never felt really kind of as a great player, but I think you turned into a great player by the end, and you were really good, instrumental. Remember that provincial championship, how cool that was?
Yeah, I mean, I was not the best, second best. I don't know that I was in the top few on the team, but we had a very good team. And I feel like I hit my stride in the last few months of that season. So
you were a very good player, and you became a good player. And I say that because you talk about growth throughout this podcast. You talk about, I've done this, I've grown here, I've learned this, I've come to this. I just put everything into this. I work at it. And I felt that, I saw that when you played basketball, and it was always fun to watch you play basketball in those days as well. So, hey, I appreciate you being on this show, on our podcast. And I think you've got a great message for students, especially about university, just to go and embrace the moment there. How many times do you get to spend 3 or 4 years in a space where you're just learning? You have a chance to pick up ideas. You have a chance to meet people. You have a chance to share views. You have a chance to have great debates and arguments about whatever you want. It's just a great space. So good for you. You put it in a context that may make university a whole different experience for someone. So I think this is going to be inspirational for people, Craig. I appreciate you doing this. Appreciate you spending the time with us. Any last parting shots for us?
No. I enjoy getting to talk to you guys. And had a great time. Thanks.
Well, Craig, I appreciate you being here. Thank you to Chin. Chin, how was it for you? First time on the mic.
Yeah, I'm doing excellent.
Yeah, he's looking. Chin's been the most attentive guy. I awesome. You've just been a great substitute for Lena. I think Lena should be worried. And and Andre, as usual, you're okay. And I'm kidding, Andre. You're very good. And Grace was working in the production room. Thank you, Grace, for doing that. We also, Achilles is one of our production people, and Chin is usually a production people, so I appreciate them and all their work in helping to put this podcast together. And of course, Mr. Plain Tink, who runs the whole program, and Mr. Curry, who is his able assistant, who helps to run the program, make sure we're all set up properly. And you can catch this podcast on all of your favorite podcast platforms. So I appreciate y'all listening today. And that's it for another edition of Adventures in Career Land.